Our God is a God who writes His ways on the hearts of His people. He did it first in creation with conscience. And when conscience became marred, He did it again and does it now with covenant. Hebrews 8 and verse 10 shows that one of the great gifts of the new covenant is that God writes His laws on our hearts. And maybe the most meaningful tool that the Lord has in doing that is what happens around the Lord's table when God's family faithfully observes the Lord's Supper together on the first day of the week. We know a lot of things have happened in the past 2 years plus that we've been through together. It caused us to count our blessings about some of the things that we took for granted. And one of them was the simple ability simply to go through the routine that so many of us had become familiar with through the years of just the way in which we observe the supper. Since today we are kind of returning to a semblance of just that means of doing it, we thought it would be a good day for us all to remind ourselves that really what allows God to write His ways on our hearts doesn't happen with how we serve this, but in how we think of it and what we're doing as we eat the bread and drink the cup. I wanted to take a few moments to notice with you the action words in the New Testament relative to partaking of the Lord's Supper. I've chosen all of these from 1 Corinthians because that's where we see the church around the Lord's table and in the Lord's Supper the most. And I'd like to just quickly place these before us as we prepare to eat the supper together this morning. What should I do as I am keeping this simple memorial to Jesus? First, bless or thank. In other words, look upward as you're doing this. To bless or to thank is the first thing about the supper, in order that you notice when you read the records. As Paul talks about what he's received from the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23 and following, he talks about the night on which Jesus was betrayed and how he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. It's the giving of the thanks that you and I should notice. And then in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 16, it speaks of the cup of blessing which we bless. What doesn't stand out to us in English is that thanking and blessing are from the same term, or at least a form of the same term. And what's interesting is that in Matthew 26, in verses 26 and 27, on the night when Jesus instituted the supper, the night before he gave himself up for us all, Matthew reverses those two terms, blessing and thanking. In that case, Jesus blessed the bread and gave thanks for the cup. This is the part of keeping the supper which reminds us that this is, after all, the Lord's table. It belongs to Him. He sets it. He invites the guests to it. He presides at it. He's with us in this particular supper. Thanks is really the only thing that we contribute to the Lord's Supper. Just bless God for what He has given for us and what He's done for us. Thanks is what establishes the tone of humility and respect and gratitude and rejoicing that we've just been singing about. It's the blessing or the prayer of thanks, so often taken for granted, that sets apart these ordinary elements, unleavened bread and the juice of the grape, for their special use that you and I ascribe to them here. You may drink grape juice and eat a cracker at some point during this week and it not be anything other than the snack that Justin saw his parents paying for. But in the Lord's Supper, with these elements set apart by prayer and by our intention in this action, there's a special meaning. First off, bless. Look upward. Second, remember. Look backward. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 24 and 25, so often read to us on the Lord's Day, when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The use of the mind is the essential element in eating this bread and drinking this cup. The use of the mind is the one thing that there is no substitute for. We figured out other ways of serving the elements of the supper while we had to these last 2 years. We'll try different means today of doing this. But the one thing that was absolutely necessary either way is the engagement of my mind in remembering the Lord. Observe carefully that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't simply say, "Do this in remembrance of the awful things people did to me." Our minds may get occupied with the details of crucifixion, but what Jesus wants is for us to remember him. Remember his body, that is, himself. Remember his blood, that is, his life, his soul, which he made an offering for sin, according to Isaiah 53. Remember that he gave himself up for us, that he did it voluntarily in obedience to his Father's will and in love for all of us, and that in doing so, he bore the judgment of our sins for the forgiveness of our sins, that he paid the ransom price for our redemption so that we could quit being slaves and start being sons and daughters of God, and that when he did it, he established a covenant relationship with his people so that he is our Lord and we're his people. And while you're remembering him, remember this. Remember that he's with us. Remember that he's present with us. He promised that he would be. Look backward. Third, proclaim. Look forward. In this passage in 1 Corinthians 11, the next thing Paul says in verse 26 is, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word for proclaim is also translated show forth or reenact, or I've even found it announce, as in when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. However it's translated, the point is that in this supper, there is a reflection or a witness to the body of Christ. Remember that our brother Thomas said on that first day of the week when the Lord's raised, Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and this scar in his body, the place in his body, I'm not going to believe. Well, we don't get to see what Thomas actually did that night, which made him say, "My Lord and my God." But the bread is the witness to that body. And at this table, there's also a shadow of the banquet of the kingdom. On the night when Jesus instituted the supper, he told his disciples, I won't drink this with you, this fruit of the vine with you again, until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Perhaps this is a shadow of that, and what looks forward to his heavenly kingdom, the banquet of the kingdom, when he sits down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from the people from the four corners of the earth that he's redeemed with his own blood to turn into his own family. So we're showing in this supper, we're showing forth or reenacting or announcing how the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to us, that is his death, while we're also looking forward to the blessed hope of his of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that is his coming again. We do this in assurance and in hope. Look forward. Fourth, share in, or commune, if you're more comfortable with that word. Look outward. Take a moment to do it while I'm leading us through this thought here. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, it makes the record makes the point that the cup of blessing that we bless is a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is a participation in the body of Christ. That's the ESV that I've read. New American Standard translates the word participation, a sharing in. The older versions translate it a communion. The idea is that this is a fellowship, an action of fellowship, in which we share together in the blessings of the Lord brought for all of us. In 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 17, the thought continues, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Notice, there is one. We who are many are one, for we all partake of the one. The Lord's Supper embodies what we so often pray for. We pray, help us to love each other and help us to be one. There's no place where we more clearly are one on some other basis and how nice we are to each other than in the Lord's Supper. We are one body, his body, made so by one head. In 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 21, the thought continues. Paul makes the point, you can't drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of the... You can't partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons at the same time. We're loyal to the same Lord. The word partake is the same word for fellowship or share in. In chapter 11, in verse 29, he calls us to discern the body as we eat, to recognize the body. And it may be that in that passage, we're talking about not only the bread, which is his body, but also each other as his body. So, my brothers and sisters, before we eat today, look around. Everybody, please do that. Look around. These are your brothers and sisters. You are part of their lives, and they of yours. As we eat, we are participants together in Christ's sacrifice and in its benefits and in the family that God has adopted for himself. Look around, and then fifth, examine or look inward. This may be the one of these thoughts that's easiest to misunderstand. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, Paul writes that let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So be examining, be proving, be testing yourself. Only do it this way. The point is that our manner in eating and drinking is to be in keeping with what the Lord means to us. Remember, we said we do this in assurance and in hope. So the idea is, as I eat this bread and drink this cup, for me to search my heart and say to myself, I made a confession, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now let me stand by it through this new week. I entered a covenant relationship established by Him through His blood. So today, let me renew my loyalty to that covenant wherever I go and whatever I do during this coming week. And as I eat and drink, let me remind myself, I am a child of God with an inheritance of glory ahead because of the work of Jesus Christ. Let my manner in eating and drinking be in keeping with the grateful joy of my heart over this truth. As we eat today, bless, remember, proclaim, share in, and examine. Look up, look back, look ahead, look around, and look in. As we prepare to eat the supper, would you be standing for a moment for this song?
With the Lord's Supper, there's always the turning to life again. That's the whole point. We look at the opportunity to remember Jesus on the first day of the week, the day in which He was raised up, and then we turn our attention to the opportunity to live for Him through the week. One of the songs that we have in the book has in it the words that are, I think, an appropriate follow-up to the Lord's Supper. We'll sing these words in just a minute, but yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. When we offer the invitation, it's the invitation to participate in the spirit of that statement, to make the good confession, to be united with Jesus in baptism, and then to walk in the light, knowing that the Lord will continue to cleanse us as we deal with our human weaknesses and trying to follow Him. It may be that you're here today wanting what this supper has expressed to be the reality in your life. If we can help you to make that so for sure, then let us know that by coming here while we stand and sing.